been out at a Hope Youth Corps. And so it's been just Julie and I at home, and it has been wonderful. We are talking just peace and quiet, and it's been a joy, and that's the reason why the title of the sermon today is The Secret to Lasting Peace. Now, I'm not saying sending your kids to another country is the secret of lasting peace. Another city is fine, or even send them to teen camp. That'll help as well. But you know, right now, all the children are on school holidays right now, and so it's summer holidays, and that won't last. Trust me, it'll end soon, and then you'll enjoy the peace that comes from having an empty home, which is encouraging. You know, there are a lot of things that can steal our peace. In 2 weeks' time, my daughter is getting married, and so I've been trying to get in shape for the wedding. And I took one look in the mirror, and my peace disappeared very, very quickly. So I've been really working hard trying to lose some weight. I started the diet, and I portioned out all my meals for 1 week. Day one, day two. All the portions are gone. but you know, our lasting peace doesn't depend on external circumstances. Have a look in your Bibles in Philippians chapter 4. And there are 3 points I want to share with you this morning. Point number one is peace in poverty or plenty. And we're going to pick up here in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 12. This is the book of Philippians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul whilst he was in prison in Rome. In Philippians 4 and verse 12, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You know, what Paul says is that his contentment, his peace, doesn't come from whether the circumstances are favorable or not. You know, he said whether well-fed or hungry, and many of us, we can relate to the whole idea of being well-fed or hungry, right? I think we've all been in both circumstances at one time or another. But the question comes is, does your contentment, does your peace depend or vary depending on which of those situations you're in? I want to show you a video clip. It's just a very short clip, but it's just a little girl, 2 years old. Her name's Mila. She just found out that her dad has put the family on a budget.
This one.
Okay.
Okay.
Mommy and Daddy's on a budget. I don't know what that is.
I asked Mommy, what's that budget?
No kitchen.
No toilet.
No toys. No pizza dress.
No Starbucks.
I need the soda. Like, can't use his credit card. He has the dollar bills. Who does that? I can't.
A budget? Why?
Can't handle this.
Maybe I can get this job. Qualified? Whatever.
You know, it can be peaceful when our kids are out of the house. But what about when you go through challenges? Are you still at peace? You know, just a couple of weeks ago, with the kids gone, Julie and I, we took a couple of days off. We had to go to High Wycombe to see Julie's father's solicitor, who was sorting out all his affairs. And whilst we were there, we took with us the Julie's father's ashes from the cremation, along with her mother's ashes, which we'd kept because she'd always wanted. Both Alex had wanted his ashes to be scattered at the same time and place as his wife's. And so we went to we drove to Amersham, where where Alex spent most of his working life. It's where Julie was born. And we found this field of barley. It was a golden field. The sun was shining. And then the rain came, and then the sun came out again. And then there was some poppies planted just by the side of the field where we scattered Alex's ashes along with Molly's ashes. And we prayed at the time, and we read some scriptures together. But it was very sobering. And we shed some tears, and we spent some time just remembering. We know even when you go through our bereavements, when we go through our challenges, where do we find our joy? Where do we find our security? You know, for us, it was easy at that time to be at peace because we knew that Alex was right with God, that he died a faithful disciple. But life isn't always that way. Sometimes we go through challenges which are very difficult, which are very hard. And yet, Paul says there is a way to be content in all circumstances. There is a way that we can be at peace in all situations. The question comes is where is our source of strength? See, what Paul says there in verse 13, he says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You know, Paul's security and his source of his strength was God. God is the one who sustained him in all situations. And you know, when he's writing from prison, prison back then wasn't the same as our modern day image of prison. Back then, the prisoners depended on the care of outsiders, even just to be fed. But it wasn't well kept. It wasn't hygienic. It wasn't going to be some kind of a cell that you had a TV in. It was a miserable situation. And yet, even there, Paul could write one of his most joyful letters. About, I think it's like 11 times he encourages the Philippians to be joyful. Even in the midst of his horrible circumstance, he can be at peace. How is that possible? Well, let's look at our second point. And our second point is simply peace by prayer and petition. Let's skip back a few verses, just to verse 4. In verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, it's interesting. This is perhaps one of the most pleasant commands in Scripture, to rejoice in the Lord always. But it's also perhaps one of the most challenging commands as well. To rejoice in the Lord always? I mean, really, always? And as I stop and think about it, I think, wow, is that even possible? And yet we know that the Lord doesn't give us commands that are impossible for us to live up to. At the very least, this is something we should be striving for, right? That at the very least, no matter what our situation, that we strive to rejoice in the Lord always. And I think the key is, our rejoicing is in the Lord. See, there are lots of things in life that we can find to rejoice in, right? You go and see a great movie, and you can come out and you can be quite happy and joyful. Someone gives you a gift, and you can come away feeling quite pleased. You can go on a holiday, or have a few days off work, and that can be encouraging. You can spend time with a brother or a sister that you enjoy their company, and that can give you a bit of a boost. There are so many things that we can rejoice in, but he says rejoice always. And it's when the challenges come our way, can we still rejoice? Well, if we are in the Lord, we can. Because through God, we can always find something to rejoice over. Do you remember that day when you became a Christian, when you first came into the Lord? Do you remember that day when you repented, you had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and there was this sense of, I have a clear conscience. There's a sense of, I know that now if I die, I get to be with God. Do you remember that day? that only came about by the grace of God. That was only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And because of that sacrifice, we could have a fresh start and know that nothing bad can happen to us. Oh, you may have temporary things that can hurt you, but in the long run, if your soul is secure with God, see, everything in this world is going to pass away anyway. Everything in this world only lasts for a short while. And I remember thinking the day I became a Christian, I remember thinking, what's the worst that can happen? Even if I should get sick and die, I get to be in heaven for all eternity. And whatever illness I had to endure, I wouldn't even remember it after a few million years in America, in heaven. About to say America for a second. Thinking of the wedding. But you know, when we've been in heaven for a few millennia, how much of this life are we honestly going to remember? I mean, seriously. I mean, right now, I find it hard to remember what I did yesterday or the day before. But there are some things that stand out, and you've got some good memories, and you've got some bad memories. And, you know, the ones which are really vivid, you know, they stay with you. But even they begin to fade after time, right? Julie and I, next month, we'll be celebrating our 28th wedding anniversary. And I can still remember, as clear as day, just standing at the altar, looking back and seeing Julie walking up the aisle on the arm of her father. And oh my goodness, I was short of breath, and it wasn't asthma. And I was thinking, I can't believe this is actually happening. And I can still remember it to this day. And I'm looking forward, 2 weeks today is when our daughter is going to be getting married. And I'm sure she'll carry that memory with her as well for the years to come. But after we've been in heaven for about 1,000 years, where everything is so much better, are we really going to remember all the highlights of earth? What about 2,000 years or 10,000 years? See, even our worst days on earth are nothing more than a blink after we've been in heaven for so long. And you see, so long as we are in the Lord, we have plenty to rejoice about, because we have a security that cannot be taken away. We have a hope and a future that is kept safe for us through the power of God's Spirit. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, I'll say it again, rejoice. Just in case you thought I was losing it, let me tell you again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That word gentleness in the Greek is actually quite a difficult word to translate. And that's as evidenced by the number of different ways it's been translated in a number of different Bibles. So here in the NIV, it's translated as gentleness, but in the Tyndale, it's translated as softness. In the Wycliffe Bible, it's translated as patience. In the Geneva Bible, patient forbearance. In the Reims, it's modesty. In the New English Bible, magnanimity. In the English Standard Version, reasonableness. It's a challenging word. But in the Greeks themselves, they described it as justice and something better than justice. There's a sense of, it would be, when Jesus was encountered the woman caught in adultery, and the way he dealt with her was with a patience, a gentleness, a magnanimity, a justice, but then something beyond justice. There was a moderation. It would be that kind of a feel. And maybe in the context, the reason why Paul is writing this, he's just talked about two women who were who had some kind of disagreement in church back in verse 2. And he's pleading with Euodia and Syntyche to resolve their issues. And he encourages a neutral third party, his loyal, true yoke fellow, to help get in there. And both these women were faithful disciples. They'd both been involved in the mission of seeking and saving the lost. They both had shared the same cause. But there was disagreement there. And Paul, in his letter, can you imagine sitting there as this letter is read out publicly? And as you get to chapter 4, your name is read out. along with the person that you have a grudge against, and it's read publicly. And he's saying, I plead with you two to work things out. Oh my goodness, can you imagine? But Paul felt it was serious. Why? Because in the church, we're supposed to be different from the world. In the church, there's meant to be something that sets us apart. And one of those things that sets us apart is not just the unity, but also the joy. And in that situation, he encourages them, you've got to resolve your differences. But then he goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord always. See, sometimes when we have a grudge or an issue or we're struggling with a particular circumstance or something, maybe a colleague at work or even, heaven forbid, someone in the church, we've got some kind of disagreement, it can steal our joy. It can steal that peace. And yet in the Lord, we've always got something to rejoice over, which allows us then to practice this epicase or this gentleness, this moderation, which allows us to be forgiving and forbearing and patient. But he says he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice, let gentleness be evident, Lord. The Lord is near. And see, when we understand that God is with us, it changes everything. He says in everything that we need to go to God in prayer with thanksgiving. You know, the key to having this peace that is not dependent on our circumstances, the key to having that peace is taking everything to God in prayer. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, the solution, sorry, I didn't even put the verse up on the screen for you. The solution is prayer. Prayer but it's not just prayer. He says, with thanksgiving. Do you think it's really possible to not be anxious about anything? But that's what Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, take it to God with thanksgiving. You know, the key about going to God with thanksgiving is it focuses our minds. And this isn't the only place where Paul says with thanksgiving. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, God's will for us in Christ Jesus is that we give thanks in all circumstances. Not just when it's favorable, but even when it seems unfavorable, that we give thanks. How can we even do that? Well, I think it carries a couple of implications. If we're giving thanks to God, it implies not only gratitude, but it also implies perfect submission to God's will. Because we recognize that not only is God wise, and not only is God powerful, but also God is loving. And because we know God's love, and we know that he wants the best for us, and because we know he's wise, we know that whatever happens, that God's figured it out for our best. And we know he's powerful, that he's able to work things out for our best. And so when we pray with thanksgiving because we recognize that God is capable and he's going to lead us through whatever challenges we're facing. And through it, it's all going to be to our good. And so we submit ourselves to the will of God. And interesting thing, when we pray with gratitude, doesn't that change your heart? See, when we have to stop and focus on what is there to be thankful for, it only takes us a short moment to realize we have so much to be thankful for. Even amidst challenging times, we have so much to be thankful for. What are some things that you're thankful for today? You got that in quick. Well done. And all the other husbands are like, I was going to say that, but now if you say it, too late, it's gone. But what are some things we're thankful for? Our wives? Our health? Whether that's good or bad? The fact that we're all here today, it's reasonable. What else? Family? Jobs? Not my job. No, your job. Thankful for Jesus, of course. You know, we could break it down. See, we can say family, but then we can go through members of our family. We can say health, but then we can go through aspects of our health. The fact that I can stand up here and speak to all of you. What, that's a privilege. Not everyone can do that. And there are times when we get temporarily sick, and perhaps you may lose your voice, or you have a headache, or you, and you know, oh, then it's miserable. But then it helps you to appreciate all the more when you're not in that way. The fact that we can see, we can hear, we can touch. I mean, the fact that God has blessed us with somewhere to live, clothes to wear, an education, the relationships, relationships even beyond our family members. The fact that we can have brothers and sisters who love us and care for us the way that Jesus would have us do for one another. I mean, there's so much for us to be thankful for. And the more we take time to count our blessings, the more it transforms our attitude. And life becomes so much lighter. But he says, in everything, through prayer and petition, present your request to God. And if we can present our requests to God in every situation with prayer and petition, then he goes on to say that we will have a peace, an incredible peace. In fact, point number three, peace for personal protection. In verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. You know, the word for in the Greek for guard, it's a military word, literally meaning to stand guard. And he says the peace that we get from God, it stands guard. It guards our hearts and it guards our minds. You know, the times, if you ever come across people who they're like, well, I'm just losing my mind. Life is just, or their heart gets overwhelmed from some particular situation. But Paul says the peace that comes from God, which transcends all understanding, he says it'll guard your heart. It will guard your mind. Now, so often the times when we're not at peace, it's because our hearts are set on ungodly pursuits, that we are desiring things which God would not have us desire. You know, when we look for validation from the world or praise from men or we crave recognition from other people, it's because we're not at peace. When we seek completion outside of God, it's because we're not at peace. If our security, if our joy comes from our walk with God, then we're not going to be craving those other things. You know, it's amazing how many people in the world think that they can get peace or succor or comfort from a bottle or from drugs or from some kind of pleasurable pursuit or even sin. And all those things may provide some measure of comfort that's temporary, but it doesn't last. And there are some even positive things that we can do in life that we can find encouragement from. Doing good to other people. The Bible tells us, you know, that it's far better to give than to receive. And when we put that into practice, actually there's a measure of joy that we get from serving others. And that's great. But again, it's only temporary. See, the lasting peace that the Bible talks about, that comes from when we find completeness in God alone. And we, you know, we sang that song in Christ Alone. And It's only when we have everything, it comes from God. It's only when we find our security from God alone that we will really be at peace. And we won't be tempted to pursue things that are not healthy or righteous. I'm going to show you this video clip. This is taken from Disney's Little Mermaid. And it's that part where she's singing the song, Part of Your World. And she's, most of you will have seen this, but for those of you who haven't, Ariel is this little mermaid, and she's enamored with the world above. The world where people can walk on two legs, where they can dance, where they can... And so all the things that get discarded in the ocean, she collects things that belong to the world above. She's got this treasure trove of all these discarded objects, or objects that she's found on sunken ships. And I would sing it for you, but it's going to come from this video clip now, and so you can hear there. But take note of the lyrics, all right? I've got those up there as well, so for you to see.
Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure, she's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's it's and what's it's galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a... What's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world. What would I give if I could live out of these waters? What would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? Betcha on land, they understand that they don't reprimand their daughters. Bright young women, sick of swimming, ready to stand and ready to know. Ask them my questions and get some answers. What's a fire and why does it, what's the word, burn? When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love to explore that shore above? Out of the sea. Wish I could be part of that world.
You know, one of the reasons why I think that song connects is because we can somehow relate to that longing for something missing in our lives. You know, there's so often so many people, they feel that desire for completion. That sense that if only we can get that one thing, then it'll make all the difference. And whatever that one thing is, whether it's, you know, that promotion at work, or whether it's, oh, if only I can find a girlfriend, or if only I can find a husband, or if only I can find my dream job, or just a perfect home to live in, or if only I can get that loan or win that lottery. But you know, the truth is that only God can fill that void. You know, we may fool ourselves into thinking, oh, this will do and I'm okay. But the reality is, without God, in our lives, there's always going to be that something missing. There's always going to be that longing for completeness. Everything else we may try is a temporary fix at best. You know, the secret to lasting peace, and there is a peace that passes understanding, and there is a peace that can sustain us. There is a peace that comes only from God, and there is a peace that is not dependent on external circumstances. But the only way to get that peace, it's through a relationship with God. It's through knowing God. And as Christians, our desire should be to seek to grow in our knowledge and understanding and dependence on God. See, the more we know God, the more we'll know peace. If we know God, we know peace. If we don't know God, there can be no peace. And if today you sense, well, there's something missing in my life, and I always thought I was a Christian, well, then maybe you need to increase your knowledge of God. And I would encourage you to ask someone to sit down and study the Bible with you and say, help me to understand more so I can gain this peace that Paul talks about. And if we are Christians, then I want to encourage us, grow more in our knowledge and understanding and dependence on God. Because the more we grow, the more we know, the more we depend on God, the greater will be our peace in all circumstances. And it won't fluctuate depending on whether the sun is shining or not, depending on whether the kids are out of the house or not. It will totally be consistent because our God is consistent. And that's the peace that passes understanding. Amen.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I think I cried too much. Even that video, I was crying. I don't know what it is. Now, maybe you're at peace, maybe you're not at peace. And I don't think it's a quick fix like, boom, you're at peace. I think one thing I learned from the lesson today was that it's a process, I think. Because my nature is to understand and to... So, for instance, if things are not going well, I try to understand why is it... What can I do? And there's a verse I read very well, very often, I mean, was quoted. It says, the peace that passes all understanding. And it transcends all understanding. And that's a warning to people like me who want to try and figure things out. Instead, I think it's saying, it's forcing me to pray through situations, to see it as a process. I may not be at peace today, but the goal is to be at peace. And this is how to get there. And we can pray through things. And as Mike shared, just the incredible, I think, love of God, knowing that God loves me. I mean, we use this with our kids, I think, just to explain when we give them advice or input. And my wife has helped me with this. It's just to remind them that everything we do is out of love. It may look restrictive or difficult, but it's love, really. We're not trying to earn any points here. We just love you and want the best. And knowing that from God, I think, is an incredible power. And therefore, our call, hopefully, is to just to learn to pray more, to trust more, and whatever circumstances. And we all, when Mike was sharing about all the things that we think, if I only had that, that would bring me peace, just that one thing. Or if I got a little bit more money in my bank, that would solve all my problems. Or just finding a spouse, that will solve problems. And we all know, and when we get there, there's another problem appears. In fact, usually two problems appear, how to handle these things. So that's where God's wisdom is so much greater. And not seeking that path is a wonderful one. So let me encourage us all to heed to the scriptures and seek that peace. And I pray that peace results in joy. Amen. All right? That we are joyful people, not a false joy, but a real joy. Yeah. A deep down joy. And a joy that even as we've heard, that could be at the back or on the, in the short history behind us, troubles and pain and disaster and disappointment, that we can still be joyful. I don't think it's wrong to be joyful in the midst of trials. As long as we're honest about the trials, we can still be joyful. So let us strive for that peace that the Bible calls us to have. I'd like to invite Julie up for a second.
So today is the last Sunday for our dear sister Sheila. She will be going to Oxford, actually. She has a job there. She's a qualified social worker, but her qualifications are from the States, and she's found it difficult to get work here as a social worker, but she's been offered a job in Oxford, which I'm very excited about, and that she can be part of the Thames Valley Church. Many of us know Sheila, and she was restored in January. She's an incredible servant to the church. She herself has bought the most enormous box of Thornton's chocolates for all of us to enjoy in the fellowship that Mike has right now. She has also written a card that she managed to fit on a postcard. It's absolutely minuscule. So I'm now going to put my glasses on and try and read some of it to you. She's written, "Dear family, the love you have all shown me during my time with you has gone above and beyond, not only transforming my life, but also has spoken volumes to my family. Being part of the East body has transformed my life to a degree that cannot be expressed. I've experienced God's love, grace, forgiveness, and healing. I didn't even know that I needed it. But your love has strengthened my relationship with God by how you love each other." John 13. "I'm very grateful to each one of you and the friendships I've built during my time here. And I would..." Let me just try and get this so tiny. "I would have..." Oh, yes, that's right, sorry. "You have given me more, so much more than I would ever have got on my own, trying to live my life without God. Thank you for taking me in and covering me with your love." Sheila, we're really going to miss you, and we really look forward to having you back with us whenever you can. We have Sheila stand, and we'll say goodbye to her.
I wondered why the Watkins were here. We need to be careful of people being snaffed and, well, we understand now, don't we? Amen. We are going to close the service with the final song. Just a reminder.